Welcome to the Chic Perspective Show. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for joining us today to talk about how to succeed with style. Today, I have a guest co-host with me, Ms. Angela Stallcup of the Ladies Who Launch, Atlanta Market Director, as well as the Chief Curvy Officer of the Curvy Life. Welcome back, Angela, and thank you so much for joining me to co-host the show today.
Well, thanks for having me back, Elizabeth. I always have a good time, and as you pointed out, we're in perpetual conversation, so I think we're going to have a great time today.
Yes, I love continuing to talk about how we're seeing more and more women succeeding in business. And you are attending some events or a conference coming up to talk about social media. And that's actually the topic of our conversation today. Social media is all anybody wants to talk about lately. It's amazing. I mean, every marketing conversation I have turns around to the topic of social media and how it relates to traditional media. And that's what we really wanted to get into today with our guest, who we'll be introducing in a moment.
Ooh.
So you've used social media through, a variety of ways to build your business. What are your thoughts about, you know, the media in general?
Well, I would say that social media, we really did happen into it at a great time. And social media right now is so important to our business and to our community. Ladies Who Launch is a community. It's an online and in-person community. And actually, Ladies Who Launch nationally had started this concept of combining in-person and online about 5 years ago. So they were a little bit ahead of the trend of that. And I think that this is what we're seeing. It's interesting, the conference that you mentioned that will be starting Friday and going through Sunday is called SoCon. So SoCon 10, every year they put the name. It's the social networking conference for the Southeast. It's sponsored by the Center for Sustainable Journalism and Kennesaw State University. And it's fascinating because I found out about SoCon in 07. So SoCon 07
right.
was my
I've
first one.
I've been hearing about it for a while.
And when I went to SoCon then, the big talk was about this thing called Facebook. And I was familiar with Facebook as something that college kids used and maybe high school kids
exactly.
used. So I'm sitting in a room of 200 people, and they're all going on and on and on about Facebook. And we have this expert who is talking about why everyone needs to be on Facebook and how Facebook is going to become a tool for business. And I sat there thinking, no way, that's just for kids. And how are you ever use that?
Exactly. And I mean, that's really what a lot of people thought early on. And I couldn't draw the link right away either. But look how far we've come in the last 3 years or so.
Absolutely. And within a year, we were so, my business and personally, I was so heavily on Facebook. And so the next year, they're like, well, you know what? There's this thing called Twitter, and everybody needs to get on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, what is this? And sure enough, now everyone is all a Twitter about Twitter. But what I find to be fascinating about this conference, and when you find people who are really on the cutting edge, these medias change so quickly. Social media really does change overnight. And so you have to stay current on the trends. And when I actually started working with social media, it was trending inward. It had been in this big expansion, and everybody was creating their own social network. And about
right.
the time I entered was the contraction phase. And so now you see everybody's basically landed on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn.
Exactly, right. The big players of the industry have kind of dominated that space. You realize they've risen to the top mm-hmm. and people have sort of staked out their claim in those areas. And it really has become another space, if you will, for a business to be. You know, it's part of the marketplace. And a presence on one or all of those tools is becoming more and more of a business requirement. Kind of like having a website became as the internet really hit its stride. And today with us, we have an expert in the world of social media. Laura Skultz is the president of Skultz Communications, which is a marketing, PR, and communications firm. And she has been doing a lot of stuff with work with clients in the areas of social media. And I'm excited to bring you on to talk more about what you're seeing in this space as well. Welcome to the Chic Perspective Show, Laura.
Thanks, Elizabeth and Angela. And you know, it's actually really ironic because Angela and I met at one of her Ladies Who Launch events, and we became friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she actually asked me to be a speaker on social media to her group sometime last year. So it's definitely
you're an example yes. of exactly how this stuff is supposed to work, pretty mm-hmm. much. And that is the idea, right? Forming connections, but doing so in a very different way mm-hmm. than traditional marketing. So talk more about that and how it's worked for some of your clients.
Well, I definitely think, these formats really suit women if we're talking about women in business, because it's all about forming relationships with people and quality relationships with people. And you're not just going to one of those standard networking meetings and throwing business cards at people or trying to get as much information or making a sale right away. I think it's really about creating relationships with people, be it people in your industry. Like all three of us do that. I think we're all supporting female-owned businesses, but we're all building relationships and all in support of the same thing. We're not seeing each other as competitors. But we're also building relationships with other business owners, so forming a sort of support network among people. But we're also able to tap into resources, you know, beyond just Atlanta. We're tapping into people who are experts and business owners throughout the country and even throughout the world. And I think
that's the neat mm-hmm. part. I mean, it's allowed you to, the idea of having a good friend is usually about like how frequently are you able to see them mm-hmm. and Facebook kind of provides, or LinkedIn provides, a way to see people in a virtual way where you're still touching them mm-hmm. in a connective kind of sense. Mm-hmm. So you can have a good friend in California that you feel like you see on a regular basis. It's shrunk the world in that regard.
Well, and it's really fun too. I was just in New York City for the Martha Stewart Blogger Show, and I'm in the studio and I'm starving and I didn't have breakfast, and they're cooking all this great food and of course not sharing it with us. And all I can think about is, where am I going to lunch today? And so on Twitter, I was like, hey, I'm really hungry. And I had two, you know, places to eat within a few minutes, but one of them was a restaurant a girl had just met on Twitter 2 days before, who's also a writer and a female business owner. And she's like, oh, my husband's the owner of this restaurant, Red Cat. It's over there. You know, it's a flu box away. We went over, we got free dessert. We were treated really well. And it's like, wow, that could have never happened, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You'd be, you know, I remember going to bookstores in New York City and trying to look up restaurants to go to, or exactly. You'd have your Zagat guide or whatever. And now I just sort of ask friends, hey, where should I eat? And we're actually still talking about that on Twitter today, because apparently there's bacon tempura on the dinner menu that I did not get a chance to have. And I love bacon, so I got the bacon cheeseburger. But
that's so funny. I mean, yeah. That's absolutely fascinating. And just see how the conversation continues on. And mm-hmm. it really provides a platform for that.
Yeah. And, you know, something that I really appreciate about Laura's approach to social media is she's actually taken sometimes what I've heard as a complaint about social media, which is, I don't want to hear where you went to dinner. You know, it's like, you hear this. And like,
yes.
because I'm a big one that I'll say, oh, I'm out doing so and so. And there will be people say, well, I don't want to hear about that. But look at what you were able to, where that works into the bigger context mm-hmm. and how you're actually able to have conversations and relationships. And part of being a human being in a relationship is to say, I'm hungry and where shall I go for dinner? But Laura,
absolutely.
But, you know, Laura has now a tremendous network of people who are foodies and restaurateurs. Mm-hmm. So it would be appropriate that she would ask, where am I going for dinner? But I think that it's interesting, and maybe this is something I would like to hear you expand on a little bit, is how you combine that personal with your personality, because you really do a great job of conveying that, mm-hmm. but also keeping it informative, you know, business, professional. I think, how do you balance that? What do you think the right blend is?
You know, that's such an interesting question, because I just wrote a blog last week and I realized my Facebook friend quote count was like close to 1,200. Mm-hmm. And I thought, there's absolutely no way I can keep up with any of these people. And, you know, Facebook is a great thing, because there may have been people, you know, a great example is Suchitha from Fox 5. And I've met her a few times on segments, but because of Facebook, we've become, you know, good friends. The same thing's happened with Angela. The same thing might have happened with somebody I met at a meeting. But there are other people that you meet that you end up, you know, losing contact with, or it may have been a friend from high school 20 years ago, and the only, you know, conversation you've had is, you know, okay, accept friend request, mm-hmm. the end. And so I went through and deleted a whole bunch of people, which is really funny, because Mashable had an article out today. And for those of you who don't know, Mashable is a great online news source for mm-hmm. everything social media. Had an article today about Dunbar's number and how you can really only maintain relationship with 150 people at a time. And I'm still,
right,
you know, 10% over that fact. you know, and I think I'm actually good at maintaining more relationships than that. But I, you know, a lot of people keep sort of business and personal separate, you know, and I think if you're in a traditional field like accounting or if you're an attorney, I think that makes sense. But for me, I've sort of managed to build this hybrid of personal, professional on social networks. I sort of let people know what my clients are and what I'm doing, but they also know that I like bacon or don't like mornings or whatever. And I've been able to form really good relationships with people because of that. And I think the other thing, you know, in my specific area of PR, before you were looking up contacts on an information page, you didn't really know things about people. And now you know what sort of stories they write about, what they like. I mean, John Kessler, a food critic in town, and I have formed a relationship based entirely on social media. And it's not because, you know, I don't really have a ton of food clients. It's just because I like what he writes. And if I ever have a story idea, he's much more likely to listen to it because we've sort of built this relationship offline and there's no gatekeeper anymore. And I think that's the really interesting part for business owners and for people that are using these networks is you can sort of form those relationships. And as my friend Chris Brogan puts it, be there before the sale. You know, you're forming a relationship. You're not asking something for somebody. And I think it's nice because I used to talk to reporters and only say, oh, hey, here's a calendar listing or oh, hey, what do you think about this story idea? And now I can talk to them on networks about, you know, television shows or music or restaurants. And it sort of forms a deeper relationship, and I don't feel like I'm always pitching and always selling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people at the end of the day want to buy and do business with people. And I think what we saw last year with a lot of the falling away of sort of the old school, old economy stuff is that need and come back to authenticity and putting your personality and being your authentic self in business. Because you can't hide behind a corporate brand anymore. People want to know who you are. And so it really puts, I think, the small business owner in a position of extreme advantage because suddenly it's like the fact that you can bring your personality and your authenticity and form real relationships that are based on, yeah, the kinds of stuff that we all do. Because at the end of the day, we're all people doing the same things every day. You know, everybody has to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So why not use that as a means for connection or forming a bond?
And, you know, that was really for me a very powerful awareness that changed my approach to business was when I heard a very simple phrase, connections build relationships, relationships build business. And it was the notion of, particularly as women, that we're very good at building connections. We know how to build networks. We know how to, again, combine the personal and the professional in other elements of our lives. So you go to your hairdresser and you talk to your hairdresser about everything else that's going on in your life. And so you get great recommendations. Hey, again, I need a good restaurant. I need a new eye doctor. And the hairdresser is connected to everybody else and is telling. We do this all the time. But to think of that as a nuts and bolts business building tool for me was shocking because you have, you know, all this sort of traditional, you know, the MBA approach and here's what you're supposed to do and here's projections and you've got to run these numbers and so forth.
Exactly.
But to say that.
That's the textbook, as opposed to the real world.
But the connection can lead to a relationship that can build your business, even if it's not a one-on-one relationship. But that connection is not just handing out a business card and shaking somebody's hand and sending them an occasional email of here's what I'm up to. But it's actually connecting, again, on something else, so oftentimes other than business, that really can make that relationship build that when the day comes – that you're able to be the one who, like I say, gets there before the sale. You're the one who gets at least the first opportunity.
Right, because you're front of mind and you've already become their trusted advisor, whether you really knew you were or not. Mm-hmm. And now they're just looking to take that to more of a formal business relationship. Mm-hmm. I like that line, be there before the sale. Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about the social side of social media. What about – how does this work with traditional media? Because, you know, everybody knows that there's been a downside in a lot of the traditional media outlets out there. I mean, like national newspapers that have closed. It's been really interesting to watch. How do the two play together, and what do you see going forward?
Well, I think you're sort of building on this relationship aspect. The gatekeepers are gone. You have direct access to people. I mean, I think Atlanta 11 Alive News does a great job of that. Their reporters are on Twitter all the time talking about news and whatever. And even though this isn't a traditional business example, I actually am very involved with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society here in their team and training program, and I serve on their PR committee. And one of their goals was to have a local media personality to participate in one of their programs, train and fundraise for a marathon, and sort of serve as a spokesperson. Well, because I was following, and this is due diligence for business owners, I was following 11 Alive News and other media outlets in town and sort of talking and engaging with them, I realized that Julie Wolf, their backpack reporter, is actually a runner. And I read her blog, and I'd been reading it for a while, and I'd commented. And that's sort of the other thing you have to remember about this is you're not just present. You're actually participating and engaging with people. And so I approached her, and I said, hey, what do you think about being involved with team and training and doing a race with us? And she said, oh, that's great. I would love to do it. And because of that relationship that was built, you know, she formed a relationship with an organization here that's led to traditional media opportunities. You know, she writes a blog, but she also does segments. It led to some advertisements and some other things on Q100. And so it's growing from just something that started as a conversation online to, you know, a mutually beneficial business opportunity for both parties. And I think that's the power of social media, is that it gives you access to people, and you can build a relationship into something that, you know, becomes a business opportunity. And reporters, I think, I can't remember the study I read last week, but a lot of them are searching for news online. They're searching for story ideas. They're on those sites. And so if you're there and you're present and you're engaged and you're sharing good content, not just yours, but other people's content, you know, they'll know who to come to when they need a story about, you know, food product here or a retail sale here. And, you know, that's really powerful, because you're not only leveraging your network online, but then somebody else is using their network to bring more exposure to you and your business.
Right.
And, you know, I have a great story about getting a media hit off of Twitter. And it was, I got up in the morning and I was checking Twitter, and I'm following 11 Alive and other, it was 11 Alive, but I was following other news sources, and there, I just popped up. I mean, I just logged on, pops up. A tweet from 11 Alive News: we're looking for story ideas about jobs. We're going into our pitch meeting in 15 minutes. If you have a pitch, hit us. And so I was like, ooh, wow. I've got lots of stories about jobs. And of course, you have to be able to put that pitch in 140 characters. It was like, okay, what's my most succinct pitch?
So, wow, talk about focusing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's like, okay, can you do it in a sentence? And so, you know, reply to that at 10:45. And by that evening, he said, send me your full pitch. And by Wednesday morning, I was being interviewed on air. So it was just that quickly, but it was an invitation. And it was Chris Swigert who did the interview, who is the director of social media at 11 Alive. And he was saying, yeah, he loves now to put out story requests for story ideas. And it's great. He can just pick and choose from plenty. So don't hesitate to reply if you have the opportunity. If you see one of those, they're happy to take your pitch that way.
That's fantastic. And it really has sort of leveled the playing field, because now people can pitch stuff, whereas you might have to have had some kind of secret in back road, know someone who knows someone. Now you can be the one who knows someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It happens on Facebook all the time. I have a lot of friends who are writers and reporters who will say, hey, I'm looking for a female who's starting her second career, preferably married between the ages of blah, blah, blah. And that's the other thing I do, you know, not just be ready with your pitch, but be willing to pitch others. I mean, that happens to me all the time, where I say, oh, you know, I know somebody who's a great fit for that. Here's their information. And they're more likely to think of you the next time around as well. So it's all about paying it forward in the end, I think.
Right. And you really become sort of a hub by making those connections. Well, Laura, you've recently just taken over the Crave Atlanta book, correct?
I have. I've taken over sort of as Angela's the market director for Ladies Who Launch. I have become the director for Crave Atlanta, which is a network of savvy female entrepreneurs in the city. And we came out with a guidebook in late December, which is a guide to all the city's chic, as we're talking about all things chic, female businesses. And
exactly. Yep. And there are fantastic women business owners in this book. So everybody definitely needs to get a copy of it.
Yeah, it's everybody from Spanx to At the Collective to everybody in this room.
Talk about some success stories sitting right here.
Yeah, yeah, Bella Cucino, who's been on Oprah, a lot of really great female-owned businesses. And what we're doing is building from that guidebook and actually starting to have, you know, a series of networking events. And we actually have one tomorrow that Elizabeth is our guest speaker for.
And I'm really excited about that. Yeah, I'm just so thrilled to see how all these women's organizations are just coming together and creating this new girls network. Mm-hmm. Where we're all connecting and sharing and doing business together and doing it really from a point of authenticity with our true personality shining through, succeeding in style together. I'm just loving every minute of it. So I am so excited to be able to get to know you both better and want to thank you for coming on the air today. I wanted to talk a little bit more about giving some of our listeners some how-tos and some tips and tricks on the social media front, because I know a lot of people are still just getting up to speed on some of this, and you guys are obviously sort of in the advanced class, I think. What are some of the things that people do wrong in this world? Because I've seen some mistakes made as well. What are the do-nots or like the glamour don'ts of speaking and connecting with people in social media?
One of mine is the me people. And I think a lot of people come at it from a good place. But if you're, you know, on Facebook or if you're on LinkedIn and you're on Twitter and you're talking about yourself all the time, or you're sort of asking for things for yourself and you're not there promoting other people's work or business, if you're not out there, you know, connecting other people or helping them find resources and opportunities, it sort of becomes like that person standing in the room that all they want to do is talk about themselves. And, you know, nobody wants to be that person. And so,
so the
that's
same etiquette as networking,
yes,
in the real world. You can still be that person in the virtual world if you continue to come at it with that mindset of me. So,
and there are certain, you know, I've heard certain percentages. I don't know that this is necessarily true. I think it also depends on your industry and your field. But I've heard for Twitter, 90% content, 10% other. I think sometimes you can go a little bit more other, which would be chat banter, promotion, but maybe make it, you know, 80-20. I would say that's true with all of the social media that you're using for business. You need to make sure that the predominant amount of your content is helpful, and just telling about your company is not necessarily helpful. I mean, I know you'd like to think it is.
Exactly.
But also providing some serious content, good links, good resources. It doesn't have to be from you. It can be, again, the retweet, the shared event, the shared link. Those are all very powerful, I think, also to sort of get away from that. As you say, let me tell you about me. I think that's great. I really see three areas where people sort of mess up on Facebook, and that's system, schedule, and help. First of all, you've got to have the right systems. There's great tools and applications that allow you to manage all these multiple accounts, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. No, don't speak Twitter on Facebook and don't speak Facebook on Twitter, okay?
It really is a different language or different appropriate kind of etiquette in each of those worlds. So it's almost like showing up for an event and being in the wrong attire.
Right.
And you're just
so true.
Right. And everybody goes, oh, look at them.
You didn't get the memo.
Exactly.
The dress code invite. Yeah, as far as being more casual, being more professional. What else, Angela?
So need to have some sort of a tool, a system, an application that can help you. Then you need to have a schedule so that you have consistency. Because I know Laura has seen this, where you get the person who puts up like 25 tweets in a row,
and then
you don't hear from them for a month. And it's okay that you get inspired and you're spending a little time.
Momentary burst of activity,
but it's
better to spread it
out
and get it regular.
And then the schedule helps you to keep from getting overwhelmed. So many who are just starting out just say, oh, it's so much and I can't keep up with it. So if you schedule and say, I'm going to do one post per day per channel that I'm using, just start with that and schedule the time, even if it's just 15 minutes, and I'm going to follow three people that I really like, and I'm going to read their information and reply. You can start small, and then you build that schedule out as you need it. Again, you maintain consistency, and so that you're not just one way, that you're engaging in conversation, but you keep it small, and then you make it scalable and build it out.
That's excellent. Now, who are some of the thought leaders that you guys are both following? You mentioned a couple of them, because I think it really is all about finding people whose philosophies really resonate with you. Who do you think, or, you know, who is important for you to keep on the cutting edge of what's going on in their mind?
Well, I mentioned Chris Brogan earlier. He's the author of Trust Agents. Happens to be a friend of mine that we actually met via social media in a conference here. I think CopyBlogger is a great resource to follow. It's at CopyBlogger, and there's several different writers, but they talk about blogging strategy and etiquette and copywriting. Mashable is a great place to get up to date on all sorts of news and information. Gosh, I'm trying to think. I have a list of these somewhere.
Well, that's the nice thing is once once they're on your list, then, you know, kind of does it for you. You pick them out of the crowd, and then those updates sort of get turned into a regular feed
your
eyes.
It's not even about sort of following experts. You know, there are some people like that. There's some, you know, I mentioned Chris because he tends to engage more with his followers than other people. You know, there's some people on there that don't have, like Seth Godin, whom I adore, you know, basically has a feed of his blogs, but he doesn't really engage and interact with people. Gosh, I'm trying to think who else. But the other thing that I was going to mention in addition to schedule is sort of having a purpose for being on them, knowing why you're there. It's really easy to get sort of sucked in, and I do this too because I love people. So I'm on there like chatting about this, that, and the other. And I have to realize that, you know, I'm using these tools for a purpose and for a business. And so, you know, limiting the amount of time. For those of you who are there and you know, tend to post 15 things in a row, which I might do on occasion, but they're all different. And they're all in conversation with
people. And you'll come back pretty soon and do it again. So.
Exactly. But sort of setting time limits and really understanding why you're there. You know, are you there to connect with other business owners? Are you there to share information? Are you there to gather information? You know, and setting time constraints, because otherwise you will find yourself, you know, there and like the kid with the internet addiction that like doesn't have any real friends.
Right.
And or social skills. So
you can lose yourself in that world. So stay focused and remember where you are and how this all relates to the big picture of your business and building that in terms of an asset and not just playing around. But I think that you've certainly both seen how this strategy can have a huge ROI and really become the primary means for executing a successful marketing strategy. Laura, tell us a little bit more about what you do with your clients and the types of clients that you work with.
Yeah, sure. I actually started out doing traditional public relations and media relations, and now my business has really grown to help people leverage both new and traditional media, you know, to build brand identity and engage audiences and to reach influencers. And I work a lot with lifestyle clients and entertainment clients. So I do some work with food, but a lot of it is work with people whose personalities are sort of branded and are trying to take themselves to the next level, trying to take, you know, a business that's grown really well locally and build it into sort of a national presence and to become sort of the expert in their field. And that's sort of what I love to do because I, you know, one of the reasons I do this and I don't work for some corporation is because I really want to believe in the people I'm working with and the projects that they have or the project or their products. And I think it helps me be a better messenger for them, you know, a better spokesperson for them. And that's why I'm just really excited about everything that's going on in Atlanta with female-owned businesses and female entrepreneurs, because there's so many people that are doing things right that it makes my job easy, because I really do want to share that.
Right. Spread the good word of people that are doing amazing things. I know the creativity that has just like popped out of the seams over the last couple of years here in Atlanta and all over the country, especially among women who are just tackling problems or inventing products or coming up with innovative solutions. It's so exciting to see. And it's so exciting to see them getting a voice and getting on a national stage. I mean, Martha Stewart, that's wonderful that you're getting that kind of level of exposure. So it's a very exciting time. I want to give you both the opportunity to tell people where they can find out more about both of your businesses. Your website, Laura, for the audience.
It's shoalscommunications.com, and it's coming soon, I promise.
And the Crave book, if people want to check out more about that or go to the event.
It's www.craveparty.com, and just click on Atlanta, and you'll find all the information you need about Atlanta. And you can follow me on Twitter, @LauraShoals.
Awesome. Okay, terrific. And Angela, it's been such a pleasure having you as the co-host with me today. Tell everybody again where they can find out more about Ladies Who Launch in Atlanta and the curvy life.
Yeah, so if you're interested in small business, if you're a woman starting a business anywhere from concept to about year five and could use your launching entourage, we encourage you to visit www.ladieswholaunch.com/Atlanta. That's Ladies Who Launch, not Ladies Who Lunch, but launch.com/Atlanta. You'll see all of our events there. And then if you want to learn more about how to get your curve on, as I talk about at The Curvy Life, it's www.curvylife.com. And we talk about all things empowering, particularly around issues of body image.
It's fantastic. Well, you guys are both doing wonderful things in the Atlanta area as well as beyond. And I'm so thrilled to see such chic entrepreneurs really blossoming. So thank you both for joining me today. And this is Elizabeth Gordon, and we are out of time for this afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in to Chic Perspectives today. To check out more Chic Perspectives interviews, go to chicentrepreneur.com. Until next time, wishing you all chic success.